Following that hymn, we'll follow the order of Vespers. That's on page 229 and following. Our Wednesday services during Lent have had only two primary worship Bible readings. Our Old Testament reading, the Fourth Suffering Servant Song from Isaiah 52 and 53, our continuous reading from the Gospel of Mark, and rather than an introit, we have Psalm 51. We pray that God would richly bless us as we hear God's word during this Lenten season. Before we sing, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we come before you this day, and there are many thoughts and worries and fears because of things that are happening in our world. Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us to fix our eyes. Today, during this entire pandemic, and each and every day of our lives, on the life-giving, life-changing Word of God, and especially on the gift of Jesus, whose perfect life, obedient death, and glorious resurrection has won for us the forgiveness of sins. Calm our fears. Teach us to trust in you. And Heavenly Father, form us and shape us so that all of the choices and decisions that we make during these difficult days would be based clearly on your word. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen for us and for the life of the world. Amen. We sing our opening hymn, number 436, Go to Dark Gethsemane. Thank you.
The Order of Vespers, page 229 in your hymnal, page 229. You may follow along in our bulletin as well. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation.
We speak together the words of Psalm 51, verses 1 through 19. Psalm 51, 1 through 19.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
We now sing our office hymn, hymn 430. We'll sing verses 1 through 5.
Thank you. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapters 52 and 53. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him. For that which has not been told them, they see. And that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned, everyone, to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. The Gospel is from Mark chapter 15. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and the scribes and the whole council. And they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." And the chief priests accused him of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no further answer, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the feast, he used to release them for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews?" for he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas. And having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him away inside the palace, that is, the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole battalion. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on him. And they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they were striking his head with a reed and spitting on him and kneeling down in homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. And they led him out to crucify him. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation. Rescue me. Do I put my trust? Leave me not, O Lord, my God. Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this evening. The gospel reading that we heard just a moment ago, Mark 15, verses 1 through 20, especially verse 15. So, Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, crazy times, huh? 6 weeks ago, you could have not imagined everything that is going on. Everything was going just fine. In fact, everything was going better than fine. Everything was going great. And now you find yourself in a situation, a bad situation, a situation that you didn't create. You didn't ask for it. It just happened. Not only is it a bad situation in many respects, it's a no-win situation. So, you've got choices to make. What do you do? How do you act? What do you say? How do you respond? Some people might say, well, it's simply a matter of right or wrong. Choose to do the right thing. Don't do the wrong thing, the bad thing, the evil thing. But we know better, don't we? It's much more complicated than simply a matter of right or wrong. It's a matter of self-preservation. What will other people think about what I do or what I say or how I act? There are so many concerns to take into consideration. There are financial concerns. There are political concerns. There are certainly legal concerns. And there are safety concerns. But let's be honest. Deep down, we know what is driving it all. Fear. You're afraid. You're afraid to fail. You're afraid to let somebody down. You're afraid to give in to the other side. You're afraid to suffer. Bottom line, you're afraid to die. No, I'm not talking about coronavirus or COVID-19 or whatever politically correct or incorrect name you want to call it. I'm not talking about 6-foot social distancing or the rule of 10. I'm not talking about violating a stay-at-home order if one is issued in your state or community. I'm not talking about making a choice about whether you're going to go to work or stay home, whether you're going to go to the grocery store or stay home, whether you're going to go to the post office or stay home, whether you're going to go to church or even have church or stay home. I'm not talking about any of those things, although every one of those things fit the situation and the scenario that I just described. It is this situation and scenario that Pilate finds himself in as we enter into Mark chapter 15. What happened? 6 weeks ago, everything was going great. Now the people are threatening to riot. I've got this Jesus in front of me, and what am I going to do? Some people might say, well, it's just a matter of right and wrong. Do the right, don't do the wrong. But Pilate knows better. Or at least he thinks he does. We don't know a lot about Pilate. We don't know if he was tall or short or skinny or fat. But God's word clearly teaches us he was a small man. He was a bully. He was concerned about self-preservation. He was a bully, and yet at the same time, he's a coward. He was a bully, and yet at the same time, he is a self-justifying people pleaser. He wanted power. That's how he achieved his position. And he wasn't afraid to crush whoever got in his way. You see, for Pilate, it was never simply a matter of right or wrong. You can't really get ahead in this world that way, right? No, for Pilate, there was always a different bottom line. Not right or wrong, but what's in it for me? Contrast the actions, the words of Pilate with those of Jesus. In our text, they bound Jesus and led him away and delivered him over to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus answered, "You have said so." The chief priests accused Jesus of many things. And Pilate again asked him, "Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you." Pilate was a self-justifier. Pilate would have been on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, any social media he could have found to make excuses and justify his actions. And Jesus stood silent before his accuser. Why? Because the charges were bogus. The charges were made up. Jesus, Like a lamb before its shearers is silent, stood silent before the earthly power that had the decision or the choice to make. Should Jesus live or should Jesus die? Jesus made no answer so that Pilate was amazed. Pilate was no dummy. Pilate had been before other criminals, both civil and political. He knew a guilty man when he saw one, and he knew an innocent man when he saw one. Pilate worked to get Jesus off the hook, to set him free. But he was more concerned about his own skin, about his own reputation, than he was about simply doing the right thing. So Pilate, clever man that he is, comes up with a plan. Now at the feast, Mark 15, verse 6 and following, he used to release for them one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. That's my plan. I have this nice guy, Jesus, and I have this wicked murderer, insurrectionist, Barabbas. I can get myself off the hook. I will simply ask the crowd, which one of these two do you want released? Jesus, the King of the Jews, or the scoundrel murderer Barabbas? Should have worked out, right? Well, it didn't quite work out that way. For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. Pilate was smart enough to perceive why Jesus was brought there, but he was not smart enough to realize what the chief priests would do next. The chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. Pilate is in shock. Pilate again said to them, "Well, what shall I do then with the man you call King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him. Crucify him." Pilate wanted nothing to do with this shameful action. Pilate tries to reason with these new scoundrels. Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done?" Pilate knew he was innocent. And yet they stirred up the crowd even more. They shouted all the more, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" We see clearly the situation, the bad situation, the no-win situation that Pilate was in. He knew that a riot could very well ensue, and that would get him in trouble with the officials in Rome. Self-preservation was at hand. Pilate didn't like the position he had in this backwater country, but it was better than nothing, and he had his sights set on moving onward and upward in the empire. Pilate could have done the right thing. Let the innocent man go free. But in Mark 15, verse 15, so Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, He delivered him to be crucified. Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd. Pretty easy to poke fun at Pilate, isn't it? Pretty easy to look at the actions that we have here in Mark 15. Might even be easy to sympathize or empathize with the conundrum that Pilate found himself in. How many times don't we know right from wrong? And yet there are so many other factors that we consider. We're worried about our self-preservation. We're worried about what people will think. We're worried about finances. We're worried about politics. We're worried about anything and everything except what God's Word clearly teaches us. Do the good and avoid the evil. We want to take things that are oftentimes so clear, so simple, so black and white, and twist them. Create our own situation so that we can come out looking good. You know you do it. We all do it. My friends, tonight we have before us a prime example of situation ethics. Situation ethics teaches that there is no objective truth, there is no objective right or wrong, but it's the situation that you find yourself in that determines your action. And what's right or wrong for me may not be right or wrong for you. It's a lie. It's a lie from Satan. God's word is clear. He sums up his holy and perfect law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. God's word is harsh. God's word condemns. How easy it is for us to put our fingers in our ears or create a myriad of excuses to work away so that God's word doesn't apply to me, to my situation, to the difficult decisions that I have to make. My friends, God's word for tonight calls us to repent. In our text for this evening, we have a marvelous exchange that takes place. Jesus is spotless, is innocent. Barabbas is guilty as sin. He's a scoundrel. Barabbas goes free. Jesus is beaten and condemned to die. My friends, there is no greater picture in Scripture than Barabbas and Jesus, than the great exchange that takes place between Jesus and a different scoundrel, a different person who is guilty as sin. You, me, and every human being that ever has or ever will draw breath. This is the precious good news of the gospel. We are guilty. We are guilty of setting ourselves up as judge and jury. We are guilty of bullying other people around to get our way. We are guilty of twisting the facts of a situation to make ourselves look good. We are guilty as sin. We are the ones who deserve to be scourged, cast into the darkness of hell. But thanks be to God God so loved the world. God so loved you that he sent Jesus into this world. Jesus dies and you live. Good Friday, once and for all, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is delivered to you in the waters of holy baptism. This is preached into your ears every time you hear the Word of God, and especially when you hear those sweet, soothing, freeing words of the absolution. My son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven on account of Jesus Christ. We hunger and thirst for it, and the very body and blood of Jesus is placed on our lips. We eat and drink the forgiveness of sins, strength, nourishment, and encouragement as we go and live our lives in this sin-filled world. My friends, this is a time in our world when many people are afraid, just like Pilate. They're mostly concerned about self-preservation, just like Pilate. They want to believe that there's no simple right or wrong anymore. That was thrown out the window with the pandemic. Now I've got all these other things that I need to factor in. Don't fall for that lie. Repent before the very altar of God for all of the times when we have tried to cloud God's word, for all of the times when we've tried to hide behind God's word, for all of the times when we have turned our lives, our work, our successes, our recreations into idols that we fear, love, and trust in. Repent of not loving your neighbor nearly as much as you love yourselves. And know, be absolutely sure and certain that your sin died once and for all on Calvary's cross with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His life was given in exchange for yours and mine. Your sins are forgiven. And now you have been set free by the life-giving and life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. So that you can hear the word of God and believe it. So that you can hear the word of God and trust it. So that you can hear the word of God and live it. My friends, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Free in the holy, precious blood of Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, and our situations in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Having heard the word of God, our service continues with the Magnificat, page 231. Let my prayer rise before you as incense. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus. Normally, we would be filling out our fellowship pads and gathering our offering to God at this point in the worship service. Members of Good Shepherd, we thank you for supporting the needs of the congregation, for the many that have remembered the congregation and dropped off or mailed in your contribution envelopes, and we ask that that would continue while we have this time of suspended worship service. Also, I want to thank all of those who have been listening on the radio, the internet, YouTube, and the encouragement and the support that you have given us during this time. And we would simply encourage you to remember your home congregation during this time as well. Our service continues and concludes now with the litany. The litany is an ancient prayer, especially appropriate during the season of Lent and during this time of pandemic among us. Page 288 and following, we pray the litany.
Let us pray. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, good Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, good Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, good Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment.
Help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you
to hear us, O Lord.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living. To put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest, and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand, and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To give to all people concord and peace, and to preserve our land from discord and strife. To give our country your protection in every time of need. To direct and defend our president and all in authority. To bless and protect our magistrates and all our people. To watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation. To protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage, and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God,
we implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world,
grant us your peace.
O Christ,
hear us.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, enter not into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no living man shall be justified. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 433, Glory Be to Jesus.
Encouraging and supporting us during this time when our services, our corporate worship services, are suspended. That suspension will likely last through May 6, unless the governor and mayor make an abrupt change to shorten it. They will probably last until that day. We are making plans for confirmation after May 6th, and those things have not been decided yet or formalized, and so we'll get that information out to the congregation as quickly as possible. I've had several people tell me that it just doesn't seem like Lent this year with all of the things that are going on in our world and our community. Hope and pray that our Lenten sermons and worship services have been a blessing. This Sunday is Palm Sunday. It'll be a little different without the little children here, but it will be Palm Sunday, and we'll begin our Holy Week worship here at Good Shepherd. Please note that every day in Holy Week, we will offer a worship service, either live or recorded, at our scheduled worship times. Sunday, 8 and 10:30. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in Holy Week, 6:30. Monday, Thursday, 12:15 and 6:30. Good Friday, 12:15 and 7:30 for our service of darkness. The Easter Vigil at 6 p.m. on Saturday, and we will have our sunrise service at 6 a.m., and that service will also be broadcast at 8:30 and 10:30. Our regular scheduled times, something will be on the radio, on the internet, on YouTube at those regularly scheduled times. In addition to that, because we have not been able to have the Lord's Supper as a corporate gathering here at Good Shepherd, on Maundy Thursday and on Easter Sunday, we will be offering a special opportunity to receive the Lord's Supper. We will be doing this outside, right outside the main door, and we will be as healthy, as orderly, and as reverent as we can be. We will treat this like an extended shut-in visit that we do on a normal opportunity or a normal basis, and Good Shepherd members will be receiving all the information with regard to that either tomorrow or very, very soon after tomorrow. That will be on Maundy Thursday afternoon and on Easter Sunday morning that we'll be making that available. Also, through a almost bizarre clerical error, instead of getting two cases of toilet paper here in the congregation, we got 12. And rather than send back the extra 10 cases of toilet paper, bathroom tissue, whatever you want to call it, TP, we have decided that since many are in desperate straits with regard to that particular commodity, we have packages of 11 rolls of toilet paper. We had two of our elders come in this afternoon and put those packages together. We cannot resell it as a church, but if somebody would like to make a $5 donation for 11 rolls of toilet paper, until it's gone, we'll make that available for members of the congregation. And if you know of someone else outside of our congregation that is in need, that is certainly a way for us to love our neighbor as ourself. Pastor.
The donation's not necessary. It's just
No. If they would like to make a donation. We can't, like I said, we can't resell it. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification. Vicar, thanks for everything that you've done with putting together the email reminder of our daily devotions, and we are doing daily devotions 7 days a week while we are in this suspended service mode. And if you would like to receive these daily updates and reminders of our devotions, call the church office or send us a note with your email address, and we will make sure to get you on the list. Pastor, anything that I forgot?
The only thing I'd say is that our second services on Sunday mornings and then also on Wednesday evenings, they might start 5 minutes later than we planned. That's due to the radio programming. It's a system in place just so that if we are doing a live service, we don't have two services going on at the same time. And so if you're listening at 10:32 in the morning and it's still just playing hymns, wait for a few more minutes and the service will begin shortly.
Be patient. We're working out all of these little technical details that we didn't really know existed before. I think that's all. The pastors are healthy. Thanks be to God. Thank you for your prayers. We are happy to make home visits if you're afraid to leave the house. And keep your pastors, congregation, our community, our state, our country in our prayers. And a special thanks to God for all of the healthcare workers in our world. God's richest blessings in Jesus Christ.